From the Gospel according to St. Mark, Jesus looked at them, bewildered as they were, and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. For God all things are possible." Often around stewardship time, as a pastor, I've had a familiar conversation. It's not uncommon, even for very committed church people, to take on a somewhat economic approach to their stewardship, to the stewardship of all of their life. They'll think along these lines. And again, if this is something you've fallen into, bear with me, okay? It's not uncommon. People will sometimes think along these lines. I give so much of my time in service, and I might do a little Bible study too, therefore, I don't have to give as much financially. I don't have to make as much of a financial sacrifice. And by the way, it happens in the reverse as well. I give thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, therefore, I don't have to actually participate in service. Certainly not a Bible study either. Now, the problem with this rather, as I said, economic approach to stewardship is twofold. First, let me be very clear. While your life, while my life in Christ, while our life together as the body of Christ can be and indeed should be reflected upon in its various parts. I mean, think for a second about our wonderful parish motto, worship, love, learn, and serve, right? This is a wonderful way for each of us to think about how we are living as disciples in those four areas, just as one example. While indeed we can look at our lives in these various parts, in the end we can't subtract from one part and then overdo in another and expect a healthy, balanced discipleship to be the result. We got a lot of medical folks in our church, so let me offer a medical analogy. No doctor would ever look at you and say, "Well, you know what? Your lungs are shutting down. They're going to be gone probably in a month, but don't worry, your kidneys are doing great. Boy, those kidneys will make up for your lungs shutting down. Or we just got the x-rays. Your brain is going to be just completely rotted away in about a few weeks, but don't worry, your heart's working strong." If you have a doctor tell you that, you should probably get a new doctor, okay? The same is true in our lives as disciples. We are a whole. So yes, some might say, "I've done so much service that I don't have to give," or "I participated in a Bible study, therefore I don't have to do service." Or, "Hey, I give thousands and thousands, therefore I'm exempt from other parts of the life of the body, from a healthy, balanced discipleship." Now, that's just one of the problems with this rather economic approach to stewardship. There's still another problem with this kind of, as I said, economic thinking. Because if you start to go down this road, you start to think of your life, and I do underline your life as a disciple as a series of boxes that need to be ticked off. I got this done, this done, this done, this done. Independent of the active work of God in your life and in my life, and indeed on your life, God's work on your life and on my life. If we end up asking, how much am I supposed to do in each one of these little boxes? The answer is, ultimately, it's never really enough. Because if discipleship is merely you and me ticking off boxes of all the great things that I do for God, great things Cal does for God, then the glory is mine and not God's. It's glory I've accrued for myself and not God. And woe betide me on that day. Woe betide me if I claim credit for what God is doing in my life and in our life together as St. George's Church. Now, the gospel passage we have this morning, I think, speaks directly directly to what I've already sort of opened with. Jesus is approached by this young man. Jesus looks directly into this man's heart. He knows what's going on with him. And what he says to this man, let's not make any mistake here, is so upsetting to this young man. It's so upsetting that the man leaves in tears. It's so upsetting the man leaves in tears. Jesus has some uncomfortable things to tell us. And Jesus then says, after he departs, he says it out loud, but definitely for the disciples to hear, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And the text says, and the disciples were perplexed. The disciples were amazed. They're incredulous. Are you serious? And Jesus realizes that they are perplexed, that they are amazed, that they are incredulous, that they don't really believe him. So he pauses. I imagine Jesus kind of clearing his throat. And the text even says, this time Jesus says, children. He says, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And then the text says the disciples are even more amazed. They ask, who can be saved? Now pause here with me, brothers and sisters. Pause here. I want us to note very carefully what Jesus does not say at this point in the text. This is the climax of the story. Everybody's jaw is left open. What does Jesus not say here? Jesus does not say, well, you guys better start working harder. Pull up those bootstraps. God helps those who help themselves. By the way, raise your hand if you know, if you can say the passage of the Bible which has God helps those who help themselves. You know where that is in the Bible? Anybody? Anybody? We're trying? Good, because it's not in the Bible. That's Benjamin Franklin, and it is fundamentally anti-Christian. It knows nothing of grace. It knows nothing of the amazing work of God. In fact, in the end, if you follow that dictate, it's glory for you, not for God, and woe betide us on that day. No, Jesus does not look at the confused, bewildered disciples and say, well, boys, buck up. Boys, buck up. He doesn't say that. But notice what else Jesus does not say at this point. Notice what else he does not say in this text. He doesn't say, oh, I was just fooling you. I was just ribbing you. I don't actually expect any of this to happen in your life. I was just being hyperbolic. I'm just kidding you. I don't expect anything to change in your life. I don't expect anything to happen, be different in your lives. In fact, I don't expect anything to happen to that guy. I just sit crying away. In fact, somebody go get him. Bring him back. Tell him I was just kidding. Jesus doesn't say that. What does he say at this point? He says, for God, all things are possible. In other words, God is about to do something new with you. To draw you up out of the grip of the world, out of the dictates of this world. He's going to change what you think is impossible and what is possible. We've all been learning for so long from the prince of this world what's possible and impossible. God is about to disrupt all that and change it in you and through you and for you. He will give you a new heart. A heart full of love for him. He will give you a new mind, a reformed will that seeks after him, and ultimately a resurrection body. And to God be the glory, for this is his work in you, through you, and for you. And it is rightly understood as amazing. Now, I think the invitation this morning is to see and revel in and indeed respond to God's work to renew us and reclaim us. To see and revel in and respond to God's work within us to change us, and transform us. So let me circle back to stewardship, and then I will be done. Let me say this without ambiguity. Without ambiguity, part of being a disciple of Jesus is hearing some astounding and amazing things. Part of being a disciple of Jesus is hearing and being confronted with some confounding and challenging things. Some things that will leave your jaw open. Some things that will make you right now want to whisper to the person in the pew next to you,
"You know, I don't believe this. I don't know what Cal's talking about.
I'll boo on that." One of the astounding things that you and I have to face into is that a disciple of Jesus Christ makes a real, palpable financial sacrifice for the mission of the gospel. That is simply part of being a disciple. Sacrifice. A few weeks ago, you might remember I shared C.S. Lewis's great approach. C.S. Lewis was asked, you know, about the subject, and he said, "A sacrifice is what you can feel. You can feel it." I gave the example of putting off a bathroom remodel. You can feel that. I feel that. Now that's one way. That's just one way of discerning stewardship, of thinking about stewardship, of reflecting on and praying about God's claim on your life and on my life and on the life of every brother and sister here. But there's an even more basic one than Lewis's discussion of being able to feel it, and that is tithing. Tithing. Now, let's make no mistake here, because I don't want any verbal slippage. Sometimes even our church leaders will have slippage here. So let's be clear about something. Giving, pledging, and tithing. Giving, pledging, tithing are not the same thing. And sometimes we can slip into using these words, you know, for the same thing. They are not the same thing. Giving is giving. Praise God for that. Giving is giving. Giving is just putting money in the plate, sending it to church, whatever. Giving is giving. Pledging is when you make an actual commitment, fill out a pledge card, and commit to giving. So giving and pledging are not the same thing. Tithing, likewise, is not the same thing. Tithing is making a commitment, is making a pledge of 10% of the money God has already given you in the first place. 10% of income. Giving, pledging, tithing. So let me say without any ambiguity, a disciple tithes. Now this afternoon you're going to go home and I hope you stay for lunch because we got third Sunday lunch today. You're going to go home at some point, you're going to talk to your wife, you're going to talk to your husband, you're going to talk to your spouse, you're going to talk to somebody, and you're going to say this. This morning, Cal said, "A disciple tithes." Now, I wish I had sparklers and fireworks and cannons and everything, so you won't forget this part. You'll go home, you'll tell your significant other or somebody in your family, "This morning, Cal said, a disciple tithes." Do not let the next sentence be, "Oh, I think he was being hyperbolic. I think he was trying to teach an object lesson. Or I think he was just doing it for dramatic effect. I'm sure he wasn't serious." Don't let that be the next sentence. Because I am being serious. I am not being hyperbolic. Nor was Jesus when he said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." But, praise God, it's not up to us. But, with God, all things are possible, and to him be the glory. My brothers and sisters, you are not called to do this by yourself. You're not called to pull up your bootstraps. If you are here this morning And by the way, if you're visiting this morning especially, hear me. If you are here this morning, the Holy Spirit is already at work in your life, drawing you closer and closer to God. Let's celebrate that. Let's exult in that. And don't let the whispers of the world creep in and tell you to be realistic. Don't fall back into the old calculus of what's possible and impossible. For with God, all things are possible. Let's breathe in the free gift of the Holy Spirit. Trust that God is already at work within you. See the truth and the power of God's work already happening in your life and in my life and in the life of this community. Let us be disciples, and to God alone be the glory for great things he has done, great things he is doing, and great things he will do. Amen.